Chairman Brooks.
Here.
Here.
Brooks.
Present.
Day. Norby.
Here.
Ballinger.
Here.
Reese.
Present. Ladies and gentlemen, if you please join me in turning your cell phones off, turn them to silent or to vibrate. We won't have any interruptions. We do have minutes, but we'll address them later. For those who are not familiar with our proceedings, we if you wish to speak, we have green slips out in the hall for those in favor, pink for those opposed, and white for those who simply wish to express their opinion. Please complete them and give it to our secretary to my left. These hearings are recorded, so when you come to the podium, please give us your name and address for the record. You will have 3 minutes unless otherwise negotiated with the chair. If you plan to speak on an item and wish to project documents during your presentation, please place your documents on the table to the right of the podium when it is your turn to speak. Are there any members of the public wishing to discuss a topic not listed on today's agenda? Seeing none. At this time, it is my pleasure to, we're going to change chairmans, and it's a wonderful day for Mr. Michael Beck, who deserves this honor. And forthwith, Supervisor Jacob from the 2nd District is here to swear him in. And thank you very much for coming down, Supervisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For a few more moments, I want to just take a moment to thank all of the commissioners and the job that you do. I know it's very tough, it's very difficult, and very tough decisions. But as one board member, I appreciate the diligence and the time that you spend going over each and every issue, and I know this morning will be no different. Brian, I want to thank you particularly. You were appointed in January of 1993. You've served for some 17 years, if I add that up right, and you've served as the chair 1996, 2003, and also 2009. And you have led this last year the commission through some very controversial hearings, not the least of which is the general plan update process, discussions on the conservation subdivision program, equity mechanisms, and of course the update policies on the downzoning properties. As I understand also that you have led the commission to make some notable changes on county codes and ordinances, improvements in both of those, which have come before the Board of Supervisors, and I believe we did what you all recommended on that, if I recall correctly. Landscape ordinance update, and it goes on and on and on. You've been an outstanding member of the commission. You've done a great job as chair. I think what underscores your leadership is being fair, being even-minded, and always open to listening to all sides. Your motto, as I understand also, is we must leave something behind for our children's children, and I think that is very noble. So I thank you for your service and your continuing service. And now to Michael. Where'd he go? There you go. Michael also was appointed on January 21st of 1993, and Michael, I'd like to thank you for your 17 years on the commission. I was trying to think, but I think that Brian and Michael are the two longest serving commissioners, well, currently serving, correct? Yeah, David was longer, but currently serving commissioners. Michael, you were chairman in 1997, 2004, and 2010 is your year. Michael believes that no project is too small. Each piece is important to the entire puzzle, and every project is very, very important. And I know you pay a lot of attention and due diligence to every detail in every project and every issue that comes before the commission. You were voted Southern District Planning Commissioner of the Year in 1997, which is quite an honor. And you've been on quite a few planning commission subcommittees, including the Upper San Diego River Improvement Plan Subcommittee, which has been a very, very successful, a lot to the credit of Devin Muto, too, the staff person, Vegetation Management Subcommittee, and, of course, the General Plan Update Subcommittee. You are responsible for bringing millions and millions of dollars into San Diego County for the protection and preservation of our natural resources, and I personally am grateful for that, and I know people that enjoy our open spaces and our trails and our outdoors are also very grateful for that. You've been very supportive and encouraged the implementation of the county's MSC program since its inception, and very knowledgeable about land use, development impacts, and San Diego County's biological resources. I understand you're invited to the White House when Bruce Babbitt was the Secretary of Interior also, and you have a reputation not only in this region, but also throughout the state of California and throughout this country in terms of your efforts on resource protection, smart growth, and energy renewal. And I certainly appreciate your serving and happy at this time now to swear you in.
Thank you, Donna.
As the new chairman of the San Diego County Planning Commission. If you'd raise your right hand, please. I, and then state your name.
I, Michael Beck.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take the obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Upon which I am about to enter.
Upon which I am about to enter.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me today, and good luck with your work today to all.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you for coming down.
Okay, before we get started today, we need to start actually on a sober and sad note. A person that worked here at DPLU passed away just a few days ago, Lori Nagum, and we need to spend a moment with that thought. She's had a husband and has two small kids, and really a tragic situation. And you know, I'm not saying this because Lori passed away, but one of the most gentle souls that I've ever met in this building. Really a sad situation. So we'll take a little moment here and give some thought to her. I thought about dedicating this hearing to her, and I just thought that is so trivial. So we'll just take a moment. Okay, as we need to do, we'll shift gears and keep in the back of our mind Lori Nagum. So, Commissioner Woods, Brian, how far did you go?
You want to start with the...
Here? Okay. Okay, we have some kind of protocols that we follow that really aren't relevant for today's hearing because we just have one agenda item with a number of subset items included, and I think everybody that's here is well aware of that. So just a couple of perfunctory things. I'll go ahead and explain, which, again, everybody in the room is probably familiar with. You have 3 minutes to speak. This hearing today is about trying to reconcile and finalize Planning Commission positions on many issues, and so we will do the timing according to what makes sense. But generally speaking, you have 3 minutes, and when the yellow light comes on, you have 1 minute, and then the red light comes on, and you have to return to your seat. And do we have a director's report at all?
No, Mr. Chairman.
And we'll do the minutes towards the latter part of the day. So unless I forgot something, we'll go ahead and kind of explain what our objectives are today, and beyond today, what the broader calendar looks like for the general plan update as it relates to commission activities and actions, and maybe reference to the board calendar for the same set of items.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, today's discussion is on our general plan update. It is the continuation of four previous meetings that your commission had in November and December of last year. The purpose of these meetings is to prepare the project for consideration by the Board of Supervisors. Our hearing with the board is planned for the fall of this year. In order to provide adequate time for staff to prepare for the board hearings, we are requesting that the Planning Commission make your final recommendations on the general plan update at your April 16th hearing. Therefore, today will be your next to last hearing that we anticipate on the general plan update project as a whole, with one exception, and that exception being the zoning changes that we will need to make to bring the zoning into conformance with the general plan. We will be bringing those zoning changes to your commission in July of this year. Prior to the April 16th hearing, based on some comments that we've had, we will be releasing the draft written responses to comments on the EIR so that they can be considered at the April 16th meeting. The responses, and I caveat that the responses are not required to be released until 10 days before the board certifies the EIR on this project, which would be in the fall. However, we are providing for an early release so that the Planning Commission has the opportunity to consider them. Additionally, many of the issues raised by commenters on the EIR are those issues that we covered in November and December and we'll cover again today. For any other issues or specific issues that your commission has, we are prepared to discuss any comment that was made on the EIR today verbally. As a reminder, the project that's before you today consists of eight major components, and this is what we plan on taking forward to the board for approval in this fall. On April 16th, again, we will be asking the Planning Commission for final recommendations on seven of the eight components. And again, the zoning ordinance would be coming to you in July. Those components, just to run through them, are the general plan document, the land use maps, the road network, the community plan updates, the environmental impact report, implementation plan for the general plan, conservation subdivision program, and then the last component, again, in this summer will be the zoning ordinance consistency update. To rehash how we got here today, we've met previously four times on this subject in November and December. And this is a brief summary of our progress to date with these Planning Commission meetings. We provided several presentations on various components of the general plan update and on specific issues. There's already been an opportunity for testimony on all aspects of the project in November and December. Testimony was received by members of our advisory groups, stakeholders, and the public. As a result of those meetings, we received direction from your Planning Commission to undertake some specific refinements to maps, and we received tentative support from the Planning Commission on all the land use maps. The last action from those four hearings was that your Planning Commission identified a number of issues that required further information before you wish to render a recommendation. The follow-up on these issues is the primary subject of today's meeting. This is a list of these key issues that your Planning Commission identified for further consideration. All of these issues are addressed in your report prepared by staff for this hearing. Today, we plan to cover each of these issues in order, and for each issue, our goal is to receive specific direction from your commission on any recommended revisions to the project. We understand also that there are individuals here today wishing to speak on topics other than these issues. There will be an opportunity for testimony on other topics at the completion after we go through these individual issues. At this point, Unless your commission has any questions, I'll turn the presentation over to Devin Muto, who will begin to go over these issues one by one.
So before Devin starts, everybody clear about our process and how we're going to proceed and so on and what we hope to get accomplished today? Okay, Devin.
All right, thank you. So in accordance with the list of discussion items that we're going to be covering today, our first topic deals with population projections for the general plan update. And the main issue with this issue has been the conformance of the general plan update to the SANDAG population forecasts. We prepared a fact sheet in our staff report that addresses this issue. It's fact sheet number 3. It looks like this. It's on page 110 of the staff report. And as discussed in our report, the differences between the SANDAG forecasts and the general plan update estimates that many have expressed concern with mainly result from different assumptions. The differences are also due to different purposes between the two numbers. For example, the general plan update estimates are build-out capacity estimates, while the SANDAG forecasts are specific to a year. Additionally, for the past 10 years, SANDAG has based its forecasts on the general plan update draft maps, which support the fact that the two are consistent. Some have suggested that we are required to comply with SANDAG forecasts. This is not the case. No such law exists at any level of government. Additionally, SANDAG has no land use authority. The forecasts that they prepare are to inform their plan, their transportation planning, and for use by the region and other planning efforts. SANDAG forecasts are not plans. They are a picture of what may happen based on implementation of the plans and scenarios that they include and model in their forecast. We also reported that SANDAG recently released their preliminary draft 2050 forecast for the region, which contain lower projections for the unincorporated county. The forecast will be presented to the SANDAG Board of Directors for approval this month. Here's a summary from our report of some of the population numbers from the project and SANDAG, and they include the new preliminary draft numbers from SANDAG, which are identified as the Series 12 forecasts in this table. Let me see if I can move this guy. Okay, click on that. All right. As you can see, the Series 12 2030 forecasts are a significant reduction from the previous 2030 projections. So this is the Series 12 2030 forecast. Here are the two previous forecasts that we were working on from SANDAG with regards to the number of homes that we were projecting for 2030. Even SANDAG's draft forecast for unincorporated lands in 2050, which is down here, is less than these previous numbers that we are working with. So we are seeing a reduction. In the last row, we have provided the estimated capacity for the general plan update based on the maps that the Planning Commission tentatively recommended in our November and December hearings. We also projected the population for that number of homes based on SANDAG assumptions to eliminate some of the past confusion of using different assumptions. And as you can see, the general plan update contains sufficient capacity to accommodate both the 2030 and the 2050 forecasted growth. So staff's recommendation on this item is that the Planning Commission determine that the general plan update is consistent with the SANDAG forecast and contains a reasonable share of growth for the region. Beth Jerez from SANDAG staff is present today to respond to any questions that the commission may have on this issue. That concludes my presentation.
Okay, so we have a request for an action on this item. I think all of the maps basically meet or exceed the forecast. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And does the SANDAG rep want to add anything to this conversation?
The only thing I'd like to say is to concur with what Devin has expressed here, that we did use the general plan update maps in producing the forecast, and to reiterate that the forecast is one possible future outcome based on the implementation of those plans, but that it's not a demand for growth. There is no population target in the Sandag forecasting process, and I'd be happy to take any other questions.
Okay, well, I don't see any, but thanks for coming down. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Or coming up, as it is, as it were. Okay, I'd like to speak a little bit to the speaker slip situation because we just have this as our single agenda item. There might be some confusion about how you attach yourself to that list of items that staff put up on the list. There is there a paper copy of that outside for people to see?
Yes, there is.
Okay. So it would be helpful, of course, speaker slips are already in, but as we proceed here, keep in mind that if you just have an agenda item like number one on there, it won't be clear to us what item you want to speak to. So right now I have three different slips that identify agenda item number one, one of which, Hadley Johnson, I don't think you're here to speak on the population forecast, and Jacqueline Benjamin and Rich Rudolph are both listed as agenda item number one. Do you want to speak to this particular item? If not, we'll just, okay, I thought not.
I'm marked for
I. Okay. Oh, I see that there. Looks like a five, but okay. So that's kind of what we thought. There's a request for an action by the commission.
Move staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the population projections. Is there any further discussion?
Yes. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if maybe I missed it when I, maybe I missed it, but are we being asked to take action on each one of those letters individually, or I'm just trying to think process-wise. In my mind, it might be easier if we get through everything and then we have a full discussion at the end.
Okay, well, I think let's stay on this point so that we're absolutely clear about what staff is hoping to have accomplished today, in particular as it relates to the 16th of April, which in theory on the calendar is our last action on the general plan. So maybe I won't speak for staff. Why don't you guys go ahead and explain again what you would like, how you would like to proceed on these, on as it relates to action on these items.
Thank you, Chairman Beck. Yes, our desire for today is that we receive specific action on all these items so that we have resolution of them and clear direction as to how to address them. The way that we've structured our presentation is that for each of these items, we have a specific recommendation that we prepared for the Planning Commission to consider. So we had planned for it that you could take actions as we go through each item. However, if you so please, you could also, you know, go through all the presentations first. I think that it may, at a certain point, because we have so many issues, it may be challenging to try to keep track of all the different ones.
I agree. So, Adam, what's your thought here?
Well, I guess I'll defer to my colleagues.
Well, I kind of went over the agenda with staff, and we've looked at these items, and I agree that if we wait till the end of the day, it might be a little difficult to recollect. And some of these are going to be, you know, pretty sharp discussions that we can act on shortly after. Commissioner Woods?
Yeah, then, Devin, would it be safe to say these are going to be tentative actions at this juncture, and then the final recommendation will come on the 16th so that we can revisit any of these during the hearing today?
Yes, that's correct.
So given that, you know, I don't have any problem with the format of the meeting.
Okay, sounds like we're ready to go. Unless there's further discussion, we have a motion and a second to accept and adopt the staff recommendation with regard to the population projections.
Mr. Chair, I have a comment. Just for clarification on our public speaking process today, we have one agenda item, but we have multiple subsections of that agenda item. So if a person wishes to speak on more than just one topic, I'm assuming that we're going to let them speak, even though it's just one agenda item. So they may speak on 3, 4, 5 of the different
yes.
components. Okay. And then, okay, appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. These are for A. So we apparently do have speakers, Patsy Fritz, and Sandy
Smith.
Is that Smith? Okay. Oh, okay. Sandy and Patsy.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and congratulations. I really just have a question. I think Commissioner Wood's comment may have resolved it. Do I understand that you will be discussing this, you'll be making a motion on each of these A through P, et cetera, but that it's open so that, for example, if I want to bring something up at K, like I'm not happy with the figures I'm seeing now, okay? But I think the point to address what I'm unhappy about the figures that you could be approving is going to really relate to K. So what you're saying is, you're not going to have the final vote on this. I think it's very smart to address each issue as you discuss it because there's a whole bunch of stuff to tie up the brain cells, okay? But what you're saying is that if, in fact, you had 55 people showing up with brilliant comments on K or Q or W or F or something, you might, in fact, readdress A, which is the population element, correct?
That's the prerogative of the commission.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. So we don't have to feel that if we address you on K and you're going to say, oh, well, too bad, lady, because we already made a decision on A.
I understand. I guess the point of A is actually very much a context issue.
Yes.
And that is, do any of these maps, the Planning Commission recommendation, is consistent with the population projections?
No, I understand.
And the answer is yes. So
I understand.
That's kind of the action.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you.
All right. Sandy?
Thank you. Sandy Smith, Valley Center. First of all, I want to thank Devin, I'm not sure who wrote that white paper, but that was very well done. I mean, that's a complicated issue, and I think it helped really, for me, understand that some of the messages that I've been bringing in front of this commission for the past few months are actually very true. We have plenty of population planned, especially when you translate it into the SANDAG formula, and my concern is that we don't need any more. So if there are major projects coming forward, which we know there are, that are adding to this already extended population forecast, they are not necessary to meet any housing goals or population numbers or anything like that. So my concern is actually that not only does it meet it, it exceeds it. It's not consistent at all with the population forecast. It exceeds it by hundreds of thousands of people. I think this population forecast will last us till the year 3000. So why do we need to plan for that much population in the year 2010? It exceeds it. That's my point.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Matt Adams.
Good morning, Matthew Adams, representing the San Diego Building Industry Association. Just a couple of quick comments on the population forecast, because at least from our perspective, we've had some good dialogue with SANDAG, but it still seems to be sort of a moving target. Just within the last month and a half or so, they've been adjusted, and a 70,000 unit shortfall has now essentially evaporated. We still don't understand exactly how that works and essentially where those units are going to be coming from. And then, frankly, SANDAG hasn't adopted a population forecast yet, so I don't see how you can adopt and say something is consistent with a SANDAG forecast that doesn't even go to the SANDAG board for another 2 weeks. So at least from our industry's perspective, we still have some questions in regards to the methodology employed to identify this forecast, because we don't know how far along or how long it's going to go before these units could actually materialize. Is it in 1 year, 2 years? Is it in 30 years? In terms of when these units could actually come to the marketplace, because it doesn't identify that in that population forecast. So we would ask you to reserve judgment on that at this time until we get a clear understanding from SANDAG and until actually SANDAG takes action itself on an official population forecast, because this is just draft right now. Thank you.
Well, just to respond to that, this issue, the notion here is that are we within the framework of what today's forecasts are, draft or otherwise? You saw a projection of the actual forecast going down, trends going down, not up. And the fact is that anything that we act on is going to be within the framework of what is projected as a need, as a regional need. And with regard to when and where these things come online, that's market driven. So I think the notion here is that it's consistent with the regional framework for our contribution to the regional need.
All right. Well, our position is that they haven't really figured all of this stuff out yet, so it's kind of hard to embrace a concept that hasn't been fully vetted and approved.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Yes.
Would it be fair to say that these are kind of intermediate actions by the commission? This is not our final action, so it's based on the information we have today, and then we'll take our final action in April?
That's fine. If we keep in mind, you know,
and that's kind of been the premise all along.
Yeah,
I think.
Keep in mind though that we have to get to a final action in April. So in our minds, we should, and I've got an issue that's going to extend things, the conversation as well, I hope. But on some of these issues, on any that we can, we should get comfortable, take an action, and feel like we're there on it, unless some extraordinary information comes up that is in conflict. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Please vote.
You haven't voted.
There we go. Okay, that motion passes unanimously. Okay, then the next agenda item actually is a series of, these are kind of project-specific APN issues, that sort of thing. Some of them are kind of just edits and remap issues and things like that. Maybe staff could separate the wheat from the chaff here a little bit. Maybe we can act on the collection of easier ones first.
Chairman Beck, yes, we can do that. We do have speaker slips on the majority of them. But what we can do is I think we can take the ones that are a little bit more straightforward first and leave the ones with more substantive discussion for later. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Eric Lardy, who will start with item B1.
Thank you, Devin. Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. This is the list of items that we are going to discuss. In addition to these items, there are a few remaining issues that staff will look to address at future hearings, including the Tecate land uses adjacent to the border crossing, the Pine Valley and Potrero land use recommendations, and recent concerns raised by the Sweetwater Planning Group.
When you say subsequent hearings, are we talking about April the 16th?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll do the final on April the 16th, but it will include portions of this as leftover items.
That is correct.
Okay.
Item B1. On December 4, 2009, the Planning Commission directed staff to follow up with Gary Hannafin, a property owner who gave testimony on his property in Winola, located in the Julian Planning Area. Mm-mm. After review of the property, as well as permits applied for by the property owner to legalize the use and code cases with our department, the revised staff recommendation is to designate the property as rural commercial. This designation would reflect the existing use of the property and is supported by the Julian Planning Group.
So that concludes our recommendation on item B1. My understanding is that there isn't a speaker slip on this.
That's correct.
Okay. And so if the Planning Commission so chooses, you could take action on this at this time.
Move for staff's.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on B1, just a clarification, really. Any discussion? If not, please vote. Okay, that motion passes unanimously. Let's jump to B4, huh? Or whichever you think makes sense?
We agree, B4 was the next.
The next item to update the Planning Commission on is a referral to review the property owned by Nabil Shahid, which was given a split designation on the general plan update maps. This property is located in the North County Metro Planning Area. Staff reviewed the area, and upon determining that the two assessor parcel numbers was only one legal lot, staff recommend applying semi-rural 1 to the entire property. This concludes our presentation on B4.
Okay, I don't see a speaker slip. Is there anybody here to speak on that? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
Move staff recommendation.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Please vote. Passes unanimously. Let's go to the next one.
Another item the Planning Commission asked staff to review was the land use designations applied to the property on and in the vicinity of the Cumming Ranch project. This direction was in response to testimony by the Cumming Ranch representative and adjacent property owner, Gay Miller. Upon review of these areas, it was determined that moving the boundary of semi-rural 2 designated lands to the north, resulting in approximately 100 additional acres of lands designated semi-rural 2, would be appropriate. The area of recommended change is outlined in red, bringing the boundary of semi-rural 2 north of Highland Valley Road. The majority of the parcels affected were already divided to 4 or smaller acre parcels. This designation will apply the same designation to a portion of Cumming Ranch and will prevent the property owned by Ms. Miller being surrounded by inconsistent and denser development. The proposed change will also make the Cumming Ranch project tentatively consistent with the general plan update, the original intent when it was mapped.
I have a question looking at that map. Those look like much smaller lots than what is adjacent than anything else out there.
Chairman Beck, yes, that's correct. These lots that are in here are smaller than some of the other lots that are around them. However, there are some other larger ones that are essentially the same. When we look at the Cummings Ranch specific plan that they have proposed and are processing, it includes development in this area that is at a comparable or even smaller lot size to what we see here. And so the designation that we previously had applied would not allow for this lot right here to split any further. What we were doing with the designation that we're applying is allowing for it to develop similar to these parcels right here and also similar to what we expect to see from Cummings Ranch.
So the designations existing on next to the Miller property that's hatched out, what are those lots? Are those 2-acre lots or?
Those smaller lots are 2-acre lots, and the remainder are 4 or so.
So the entire project would be a 2-acre project, which is what the applicant has in now? I thought it was smaller.
Yeah, I believe that the Cummings Ranch project actually has smaller lots, and so we would see smaller lots over here in the Cummings Ranch project area.
And that wouldn't, because that's been in-house for 10 years or so.
Cummings Ranch is currently a specific plan area on the existing general plan, and they have a specific plan and general plan amendment in process.
Not going to interfere with their application?
No. In fact, when we originally developed the maps, the intent was that we were going to replace the specific plan area designation on our maps with our actual designations, which is what you're seeing here on this slide, but that we would not affect the overall unit yield, and so that their project in-house could remain consistent with the general plan update. When we analyzed that, we found that we were short with the designations that we had given them. So we are hoping that this adjustment will rectify that difference. We understand that there may need to be some additional, refined analysis just to ensure that that's the case, but that's the intent.
Okay. With that, I would move staff recommendation.
There's a motion and a second discussion, which I have.
Excuse me, Chairman, I have a slip-in on that one. I think it says Ramona. Unfortunately, I didn't realize that there were.
Of course, and if anybody sees us taking off without giving them an opportunity to speak, there it is. Please do it, Mr. Schwartz just did. Okay. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and commissioners, we appreciate the effort that the department has made with regard to increasing the amount of SR2 that would cover the Cumming Ranch area. However, because we have not had the opportunity yet to have our engineer take a look at this, the SR2, as you know, is a slope area slope-dependent based upon, it could be 2 acres, it could be 4 acres, it could be 8 acres. So what we're asking, and I think Mr. Muto has already alluded to that, that perhaps your commission hold off on taking a final action on that until we've had an opportunity to submit the information from our engineer and to let the department then look to see if there's any adjustments that might need to be made in that, where that line would be.
We'll let staff respond to that.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Beck. We agree we don't have the detailed slope information for the property, so a more technical analysis and engineering analysis of the unit yield would be appropriate. If it so pleases the Planning Commission, you could continue this item until the 16th, or you could take a tentative recommendation on what you see here with the understanding that we do need to undertake this analysis, and we will be, if we determine that there's an issue with it, we will return with that on the 16th.
I'm inclined, as a maker of the motion, to withdraw the motion to allow this to be properly examined.
All right, thank you,
Commissioner. If the second would agree to that.
Okay, and I will use this extension to educate myself a little more on this because I was a little unclear about the staff presentation. What is the parcelization of the area, the large open space areas on that within the red?
So the size of these parcels, is that what you're requesting?
Do you have? Well, I thought I heard you say that there was further density anticipated in that area. Did I mishear you?
That's a specific plan.
This parcel right here, this large rectangular, is the one that Ms. Miller spoke to at her previous hearing. It's approximately 10 acres.
Right.
And then these other are all privately owned. They range from 2 to 4 acres. Once you get to this larger parcel and also the parcels that are down here and over here, that's all Cummings Ranch. So this designation would allow for some division of this lot right here. It's basically reflecting the Cummings Ranch specific plan. So we're not providing for any additional division than what was already planned for Cummings Ranch. And I guess there's the possibility that one or two of these lots over here could split, and we'd have to look into that more in more detail if you had particular concerns with regards to those lots.
Well, yeah, I did hear you correctly because I don't think that map's reflecting what you just said. I mean, I'd like to know what the final parcelization could look like, unless I'm missing something. So when we come back and revisit this, maybe I can get clear about it at least. Okay, there's a motion to trail this to the 16th. We don't need a motion for that, do we, or do we?
You don't need a motion on that. We will be returning, and we will be addressing it at that time.
Okay, thanks.
This one here did not have a number.
Yeah, it's the same guy. Okay, next.
The next item has to do with the Morgan Run Country Club in San Diego and the definition of open space recreation, the land use designation under the general plan update. The property owners for the Morgan Run Country Club sent in correspondence prior to the earlier Planning Commission hearings and requested edits to the description of open space recreation in the draft land use element. This designation is applied to active and passive park uses and is also applied to private facilities, such as golf courses. Staff is proposing the revision shown to the open space recreation description to acknowledge that many of these areas have existing facilities, often allowed with a major use permit, and such facilities would be continued to be allowed in the future.
That concludes our presentation.
And maybe a point of clarification that any implementation of this would require an amended MUP?
That's correct. These uses are governed by the zoning that applies to the properties, and the zoning requires the major use permit. Most of the existing facilities within these golf courses are covered by major use permits, so they would need to modify their major use permit if they're going to expand at all, or if any new uses were provided where there isn't a major use permit, then our zoning would require that they either have a use permit or some other type of implementing permit.
Okay. Jack Phillips, Jack, do you have is this B6 here?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it looks like blue to me, but. Oh, cut it, country club, something like that.
First, I want to give some praise where I think it is really due here, and that's the work of Devin and the entire crew in preparing this staff report. It was great reading and very informational, and I just can't put enough praise on the work that they did in preparing this, right up to page 1-49. Then it all went to heck. This new language for recreation open space on page 1-49 indicates that any one developer can come in at the last minute and convince staff to change language that has been vetted over 12 years by all of the communities affected by this general plan update. A little background is appropriate here. When the impact sensitive designation was eliminated in the general plan update, this is going back several years, and largely replaced with this recreation open space designation, we were assured that the intent of our existing impact sensitive designations would be retained. As you can see in your handout, those impact sensitive areas were then and are now considered unsuitable for urban development. The proposed such as listing added to the update's replacement for the impact sensitive designation would allow hotels, timeshares, resort residential, I don't even know what that is, I imagine it's clustered condos, restaurants, and other unspecified uses, all urban development, all directly violating the intent of our community plan in specifying the open space recreation land use. This is a disaster for us. This change brought forward to appease a developer in San Dieguito will affect hundreds of acres in Valle de Oro and probably many thousands of acres countywide, leaving them open to unplanned commercial development of hotels and restaurants and high-density residential development instead of the intended recreation open space. This deceptively simple addition of a such-as listing means that under this designation, a general plan amendment would not be required to go from open space to commercial and high-density residential development. In addition to disrupting what we considered to be an orderly, open, and predictable update process, going forward with this language change in the open space definition would necessitate removal of this designation from our community plan and our seeking return of the impact sensitive to the update or establishment of an alternative recreation open space designation that does not establish hotels, timeshares, resort residential, and unspecified commercial as acceptable uses. Given the untimely, far-reaching effect this new wording will have on Valle de Oro and probably many other areas, we most strongly recommend that you instruct staff to retain the thoroughly vetted existing language and discard the proposed change. Thank you.
Discussion? Commissioner Reese?
Yeah, I would tend to concur with Jack on this one. I do not, that's just, the tail is wagging the dog in that change. There's no limitations on it. It could be 5%, it could be 80% of the open space area. That's, you know, it's uncontrollable. The definitions are so broad. You could have timeshares, resort, you could have Magic Mountain put on Cowles Mountain with that definition. And that's a little too much for me, and I can't, but if it were limited to 5% or something like that, I would make go for it. But this current language, I could not.
Yes, Commissioner Norby?
Just prior to that insertion, you have uses and structures ancillary to the primary open space. So it's a very broad sentence that can include a lot of things that are ancillary to that recreational open space use. And then we get into defining. Those are not congruent. I mean, we define them specifically, and then the previous sentence we say in general. You know, for this particular project, I'm inclined to support, but the ramifications of this everywhere else. I think if you are a citizen of San Diego County and you have an open space zoning for recreation, there's not an anticipation that that would include timeshares, hotel facilities, resort residential development in an open space. And if I can make the argument that it's appropriate and ancillary to a golf course, I can certainly make the argument that it's appropriate and ancillary to some passive open space like the Grand Canyon or some park that I want to stay at a hotel next to see the park. So it's I agree with Commissioner Reese in terms of that. Thank you.
Any other comments? Commissioner Day?
Well, I don't know if we're going to get consensus on this today. Maybe staff can clarify, but as I recall the hearing where this was brought up, the issue is that Morgan Run and I'm assuming every other golf course slash development in the county existing today, with staff's original recommendation, would have essentially undercut their entitlements. And so this was an attempt to assure that in the future, what they have on the ground would be allowed to continue, and that we wouldn't be creating this non-conforming use. I guess that I'm going off of memory, but if staff can amplify, because this really isn't just Morgan Run.
Through the chair, Commissioner Day, the purpose of this revision, our interpretation of how we wrote the definition for the open space recreation was that it didn't preclude those uses. We have those uses right now, and we believe that they are ancillary to the primary open space use, which is the golf course, and they are permitted right now. But what we wanted to make sure is that since we had concerns with what it actually meant, that we clarified it, and that these uses, when we wrote that initial wording, it was specifically intended for these areas where we have existing resorts and existing clubhouses and associated facilities, and that our intention was to continue to say that they're allowed in the open space recreation designation and even possibly could be expanded. Currently, right now, the designation, as Mr. Phillips discussed, is the impact sensitive. And while that has some specific requirements for the process that you go through in determining what you can allow in that designation, it doesn't preclude any uses either. So we're actually being more restrictive with this definition than what we have right now with the impact sensitive designation with regards to uses. We've tried to carry through some of the process. So by saying they relate to the recreational use and do not substantially alter the character of the area, that was what we also added into the process a bit. But I hope that explains some of the background and rationale.
Just to follow up on a point, and then I'll come to a commissioner's question. I just want to see if I understood you correctly. You're saying that the process associated with the impact-sensitive designation is more permissive than the process than you're recommending?
From the standpoint of uses, it doesn't specify what uses. It's pretty broad in what uses can be allowed. Although there's more criteria within that, in that you have to address the environmental impacts of your use in order for it to be allowed within that zone. So that's kind of the difference. It has a more narrow process for defining what you will allow, but it doesn't preclude many uses. It says anything's kind of open for game. I would add that we also have the layer of zoning, and we can further restrict or address uses, including the intensity of those uses through the zoning. So that's another tool we have on all of these areas.
Okay, well, I'm going to give Mr. Phillips a shot here, but I'm inclined to support the other commissioners who are uncomfortable with this. Jack, do you want to, and then Lois, Jack, you just speak to the specific part of this?
Obviously, Mr. Mudo, in spite of this great job up to this page, does not recall what the impact-sensitive designation actually says. It very clearly is applied to areas considered unsuitable for urban development. And I think the points that have been raised are absolutely, I wanted to try to stay within 3 minutes, but they're absolutely right. There is no limit. There's no size ratio. Golf courses could be converted to almost anything under this as long as they kept a ping pong table in the clubhouse. It is not a reasonable land use designation. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Lois?
Thank you, Commissioner Beck and the other commissioners for their comments. I'm going to address mostly Morgan Run. The Morgan Run sits on the edge of the San Dieguito River, a very sensitive area and critical to the ambiance of its surroundings and the community to which it services. A70 right now is what is the layer on Morgan Run, and there's a reason for that. It's because it's part of the river watershed, and Chino Farms is down the street, and it's much more rural in nature than what is defined here. Although the Morgan Run is developed, the changes to the open space recreation gives a green light for them to further develop this facility, including as defined in the proposed changes, the timeshares, resort residential developments, and hotels. And it's hard to see how that really protects our open space. We have other areas of open space in our group area, and to put a hotel in some of those other open space recreational areas would be devastating. And then Devin also mentioned that there's a zoning overlay for to help protect it. Well, in your next item for Whispering Palms, the new zoning designation that they recommend is a R20, I believe. Yeah, residential 20, which means 20 dwelling units per acre. And so that allows that increased density that he says that would be protected by the zoning. So to see the open space recreation redefined and to add this to Morgan Run is inappropriate for the character of our community and for the residents of Whispering Palms.
Thank you. Commissioner Pallinger?
I'm confused. So staff, Mr. Mudo, you're saying that this definition here makes uses more restrictive. So if we did not add that, these uses could potentially be allowable if zoning allowed it and you were able to go through a major use permit process successfully. So we could strike it and it really wouldn't restrict or allow any other uses other than are allowed today.
I guess the comparison is what's allowed today and what's allowed in the future, and what's allowed in this policy without the recommended addition or what's not. If you look today, and I'll just read the impact sensitive. It says, as Mr. Phillips correctly said, this applies to areas considered unsuitable for urban development for the reasons of public safety or environmental sensitivity. Large lot residential parcels, agricultural pursuits, limited recreational uses, mineral extraction, or green belts connecting permanent open space areas may be compatible with this designation. We've interpreted that in the past to be that these types of uses, like the clubhouses and the associated uses with the golf courses, are allowed in these areas. So that's the difference between that and what we have here. This is restricting that a little bit more and saying only those uses that are connected with the recreational use is allowed in the zone. Now, with regards to our addition, the addition, correct, is
to clarify what those possible additional uses might be. If we removed the requested addition, we believe that it would essentially have the same effect because that is how we interpret this designation.
I appreciate that. So it would really be up to the proponent or the applicant then to work with staff to come to an understanding that whatever use is proposed is acceptable under that definition. And it may or may not include these, but arguably would include these.
That is correct. And ultimately, the determination will, you know, whether if it's a major use permit, it would come to the Planning Commission
for concurrence. You have also a layer of zoning and then a highly discretionable action that would have to take place.
That's correct.
So I'm inclined not to support this for that reason, which is the opposite reason that my fellow commissioners would not support this.
I'll weigh in on this, especially since I didn't have the impact-sensitive definition in front of me to compare. I think just the name of the two says a lot to me and would say a lot to the public, impact-sensitive versus open space recreation, and listing these potential uses, which those are urban uses. So is there a motion on this particular item?
I made a motion. I guess I didn't make a motion, but I would make an amendment to this to read after the word ancillary and necessary to serve, and then at the end of that, and at the end of the entire thing to say, and shall not exceed 5% of the existing open space designated area. I don't know whether it'll work or not.
Okay, there's a motion. Do we have a second for discussion purposes?
For discussion.
Yeah. Okay, we have a second for discussion. I'd like to suggest that we either give a thumbs up or thumbs down to this, that trying to parse it right now without having the analytical tools is kind of a dangerous slope. Okay, motion actually failed. No, it didn't. It had a second. Okay, the motion was withdrew. Is there another motion?
I'd make a motion that we strike the additional language reflected in blue.
And I'll second that motion.
Any discussion? If not, please vote. Okay, that motion passes unanimously. B7.
The next land use issue that we will be discussing is the land uses applied in the Whispering Palms area. The existing general plan